paid, P-A-I-D, paid people, selected people, pay them. It was employ them was a job. Yes. Pay them to praise the Lord. Amen. That was their job. Yeah, it's true. Didn't you read it?
Yes.
Didn't you read it? Where that David wrote the Psalms and he employed people. He employed people what verse?
37.
Where it tells you, yeah, continual employment. In verse 37. So he left there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, Asaph and his brethren, to minister before the Lord out continually as every day's work required. See, these men were employed continually to praise the Lord. See, but you have the privilege of doing it because you love the Lord. See, and that was good. Okay, because they had to live, but they did it. That was their job. David employed people continually, dedicated people to praise the Lord. So this is a wonderful, David was a wonderful man. And, you know, we praise God a little bit. Or we serve him a little bit. 1 week we are on fire. One service we are stirred up. And the next one we are cold. You know, for a long time we are cold. Then we get a little fire again. That's not the way you serve the Lord. That is not the way you serve the Lord. Okay? You serve him continually with love. With love in your heart. You don't serve him because somebody employ you. What am I getting out of it? Because somebody's paying you. You don't volunteer to do nothing. You don't see nothing. You leave it to everybody else. I'm talking about you. You. Why? Oh, you. Think about it. You leave it to others. And let others do it. Then what about when you stand before the Lord? You're going to expect a reward. There's no reward for not doing it. See, so, but anyway, they were employed continually as every day's work required. There was people always there. But to have a church where people do it because they love God, isn't that wonderful? Yes. So this was a beautiful chapter, Psalms. It's really a psalm starting from verse 7 down to verse 36. And if you want to do yourself a favor, if you want to be able to learn how to praise God every day, you praise him morning and evening. Employ. Here's an employment, you see. Here is an employment in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Here's an employment for you continually to serve the Lord. Every morning or evening, you get your Bibles and you get away. This is not something you do with crowd. This is something that you do by yourself in private. And I know you're busy. You're busy. Very busy. See? That's an excuse, really. But you make time for God. And you begin to you employ yourself in this, and you begin to praise God every day. Every day. Try that. And twice a day if you can. Just stay in this chapter right there, 1 Chronicles 16, from verse 7 to verse 36, until you know these scriptures, where you can just pray them and praise him. Okay? What a wonderful job. So we ask God to bless us this morning and give us a word. And I just want to kind of take time because, you know, we are going to talk, we are talking about some things that are really difficult to understand. And there's a lot of claims out that I study and I search and I look. And I just don't take things for granted because somebody say it. I listen. And there are claims out where people, men, that I've seen claims where men think that they are Elijah. Yeah, and they're working the miracles of Elijah. And that's all right. That's their claim. I'm not here to oppose anybody. My job is just to go into the scriptures and talk about the scriptures. And then it's up to you what you want to believe, what you want to think. But I would encourage you to stay in the Bible. And men get excited and they're prophets and they're great prophets that's fine. But I encourage you to stay in the Bible. And just to go where the scripture goes. Don't go ahead of the scripture. Don't run ahead of the scriptures. And just humble yourself. And you'll find where God will just reveal himself to you. And God is doing a wonderful work today. And we just have to humble ourselves. And this is a very, very important study. Okay? The study on Elijah. Elijah is not Jesus Christ. Elijah is not God. He is a wonderful man. Or he was a wonderful man. And you can find him all over the Bible. All over Old Testament, New Testament, just like you find Moses, David, some of those men in the Old Testament, Isaiah, you also find them in in the New Testament. But this one especially, Elijah, is promised to return. I'm sorry. The Lord is, notice that. Jesus promised that he's returning. The second advent. Now there's also a promise that Elijah will return. As far as I can think of, there are two men that it's promised that they will return. Elijah will be sent, return. Jesus Christ will return. Elijah will return to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, right? Jesus is returning to establish permanently the kingdom of God upon the earth. But Elijah will go before. Or he'll come before that great and dreadful day of the Lord. That's in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. The promise that, and you need to be sharpened up, really. We need to come alive and sharpen up the church. And our whole need to do that. We need to be very sharp. Okay? And get the word of God in your heart. And just say, Lord, I'm so blessed this morning that I can be hearing this word. And get your Bibles and calm down. Calm down. Okay? This is not a message where you're being promised a car. house, money. This is not about that. This is a different subject. All right? And we want to look into the Word of God slowly because and see where God will take us. You have to follow the scriptures. And you don't rush out and find Elijah. These things have to come to you. Elijah will be sent, will return. You're not going to go meet him anywhere. Or you. I know of people in the past that would set a table, and I'm not knocking anything. I'm just explaining. Would set a chair at the table for Elijah, or provide a room or whatever for Elijah. That's fine. I'm not, but this is not about any of those things. I just want to explain to the best of what I see, what the Lord show me, I think, to a degree to Elijah, Elisha, these two, and as pertaining to our day, the last day, and what is to occur. Because there are great promises that has been given to us, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Peter say that. That by these exceeding great and precious promises, we might become partakers of the divine nature of God. So I want to go to First Kings chapter 19 first. We'll pick it up there. First Kings chapter 19, and this study is not going to be one day today. I'm not going to finish today. Excuse me. Or even the next day. But it's a beautiful study. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, we start at verse 1. Somebody, you all have your Bibles? Amen. And how many times do I have to ask you to read? And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Remember on Mount Carmel? The fire that came down and consumed the sacrifice, and the false prophets of Baal were killed. Jezebel was the high priestess of with Et Baal, or her father was what? She was the daughter of Et Baal, and she was the priestess of Baal. Came from the land of the Zidonians. Okay, and she was married to Ahab, and she defiled the house of God. And you even find her spirit, the spirit of Jezebel, in Revelations, the New Testament. So we're dealing with a lot of, even it goes into mysteries. Thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, to be there, but she was killed and died in the Old Testament. Jehu was the king that destroyed her. And she was eaten, notice, by dogs. And if you notice, the dogs, when they went back, I think the next morning, to bury her, what did they find? What did they find? They just found her head, her hands, on her feet. The dog didn't even want that. The dogs did not even want that. They didn't want to touch her hands. I mean, come on, we as children of God ought to do better than that. The dogs would not even go after those things. And yet we as Christians sometimes run. The church suffer that woman, Jezebel, to be in the church. That spirit, when the dog wouldn't even allow her feet to enter. They would not put her feet in their mouth or their hands or their head. And the church, look at that.
That's right.
The church don't even know nothing. That's the condition that many of God's people find themselves in. Yeah, the dogs, the dogs would not even eat her hands. And the church is eating, exalting her. That's what the Bible said in the New Testament, that thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, to be in the church. When the dogs would not even eat her head, or her hands and her feet. She had no place in the dog's mouth. The church should not allow those spirits to enter. It's in the Bible. Jesus, was it Jesus that mentioned that? Don't you think that Jesus knows more? To the seven churches, thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach, my goodness, to teach, hold on and get that scripture up there. Let's be sharp. Come on. Revelations 2 and verse 20. Notwithstanding, what church was that? To the church of Thyatira. To the church of Thyatira, write. These things says the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet, no, come on, his eyes as the flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, your charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and alas, to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest. Well, that word sufferest, when you suffer something, you allow it, right? Help me. In other words, it's allowed. You can live with it. You deal with it. You can handle that. It's like somebody live in your house and you don't like their ways and all of their ways, some of their ways, but you learn to live with it. You don't bother them. So here was a spirit of Jezebel that was allowed to do what, and the church would go on. No, notice, they would go on and try to do their good works, but they would not bother that spirit. You don't bother me, I don't bother you. Thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess. Notice, to teach you. To teach her spirit, her doctrine, to the body of Christ, to the saints. They sat there and allowed that spirit to teach them. Wow. Do you understand how blind Christians can become? When you don't walk close to God, when you don't submit to the word of God, you take on a spirit that you don't even know. You don't even know what you're doing. But he said, but I'm singing, I'm testifying, I'm preaching, but you don't know what spirit you're off. Are you listening? You don't even know. The devil take your mind and you wander. One time you hop on the mountain a few days, then you go right back down. One time you're on fire, you're going to serve God, but then something come up. You're back to normal. Normal means a different spirit. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, which, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Do you see what's going on? The church is destroyed by the spirit of Jezebel. A spirit can destroy a church, and spirits are contagious. You think, oh, let it be, and I can fellowship with the world. I can do this. I can party, and I can serve God Sunday morning. Sure, you can. But you're dry. You're cold. You have no life in you. You're not moving on. You don't feel that fire like we had in 1 Chronicles 16. Oh, that man would praise the Lord. You know? A continual employment in praising God. So, it says that in verse 21 of Revelations, I gave her space. Notice. I gave her space. That's the church. That's the church. The people. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. You see, that's spiritual idolatry against God. Behold, are you reading? Come on. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and then that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. You see, and it goes on to show you, he's talking about the church. But the spirit of Jezebel, and if you want to know, you ought to study that and read more about this woman Jezebel. And I will kill her children with death. What does that mean? I will kill her children with death. They go to church, they have no life. See? There's no spiritual life. They go to church, they sit there, they come, but there's no life. There's no spirit. There's no love. There's no joy. You check that out. Check your spirit. I will kill her children with death. Where you sit there and you hear a nice message, and you can't even say amen. No life. You hear it, but there's no life. He says, I will kill her children. That's spiritual death. You can have a big church or a large church, and they're dead. They are dead. You check your heart. How much life you've got. Do you feel that fire burning in your heart? See, so that's something subtle, a mystery. I will kill her children with debt. Spiritual debt. They don't have no joy, no life. It's not a praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No life. They're dead. It comes upon you subtle, and you don't even know. Where you love the world more than you love God. You love the things of the world more than you love the things of God. It's not like 1 Chronicles 16. Praise the Lord and bless the Lord and serving God with joy. Oh, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. We drag in church. We can't raise our hands unless the pastor says, raise your hands. He's got to tell you, clap your hand. Raise your hands. Lift your hands up. Stand up. No life. Praise the Lord. Read the scriptures. But you got to do it because you love God. Amen. Yeah. If you stay in the presence of God, you'll see. And you get the spirit of Jezebel out, but you suffer that woman Jezebel to stay. Said, I'll kill her children with death, and all the churches, see, he's talking about the church, all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins of the hearts. And I will give unto her every one of you according to your word. So nobody gets away. None of us gets away. It's not a hide and seek. I do it, but nobody knows. God said, I'll search the heart. It's a heart matter. And when you come before the Lord, your heart tells you, condemns you, because there's no life there. Oh, this is wonderful. This is awesome. He said, I'll kill them with death. So they have no life. See, they have no joy. The fruits of the Spirit is not working inside because they're dead. Okay? It's even like the Ephesians, losing the first love. And they have a name that they're alive, but they're dead. So the Lord said, I'll kill them, their children. With death. That's spiritual death. And all the church will know. Then it goes on, I'm the Lord that search the hearts. That's what you ought to think about. Nobody have to see us. Nobody have to be there. It's the heart, the conscience. And God search it. And the next day, you enjoy it, but the next day and the next week. When you forget all of that, why don't I have life? Why don't I have joy? Death working there. Okay? When you play games and you take chances, but you allow that woman, Jezebel, to come in and to teach her doctrines, to put her spirit inside of you, and you begin to act like her. I'm talking about the church. Okay, and verse 24. But unto you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as I have noticed, it was a doctrine. There was a doctrine back there that got Israel in trouble. And it's a doctrine, the same spirit move over in the church. It's a doctrine. It's a teaching. And it's subtle. And it looks like the gospel. As many as have not this doctrine and have not known the depths of Satan. See, remember, there were some that did not have this doctrine. Right back there in the days of Jezebel, there were some that would not have her doctrine. You remember? There were 7,000. Did not bow to the image of Baal. There were 7,000 that did not have the doctrines of Jezebel. We will get there in a minute. But he said, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as not, as have not this doctrine, underline that doctrine. It's a doctrine. A teaching. See, so now Elijah came in contact and was opposing this doctrine, this spirit. So the ministry of Elijah's return to oppose this doctrine. Amen. You need that spirit of Elijah to return and oppose that doctrines of Jezebel. Right. And that spirit was in Thyatira. As many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. In other words, you get this spirit of Babylon out, this spirit of fire, of Jezebel out. See, you deal with that spirit. You deal with it so that death will not reign in the church. Spiritual death. Get that spirit of Baal out. The gods of Baal. Get it out of the church. See, first the natural under Elijah, the first Elijah's coming. But now the second is a spiritual. It's a mystery. The first you could see the idols. But now it's invisible idols, not up on Mount Carmel or stationed out there, but the idols are in the heart. It's right, it's a mystery, it's in the heart. And you can't see it. And you're following idols, but it's in the heart, and you don't know it's in the heart. Because you can't see it. That I can see up there, I can see that wood and that stone or that God's out there, but the one in my heart, I cannot see it. And that's where the idolatry is. It's a heart matter. And he says that I will kill your children with death. And remember now, the heart is deceitful. The heart will deceive you. It will tell you, you're okay, you're right. But it says, as many, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, here, I will put none other burden on you. Now pause there and hold your fingers there, and we will go to 1 Kings, the chapter 19. And then I want to go to Romans. But go to 1 Kings there. When Elijah ran away and he was complaining that he was the only one that was left. But you remember when he found Obadiah? And then now he's chapter 19. And where Elijah and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. And we told how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do unto me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Elijah had slain and killed her false prophets, over 400 or 800 of them. There was 850 or Elijah killed them all. But there were still others. And still others that Jehu killed a bunch of them in the temple. You know that. Now, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my rest, for I am not better than my fathers. My life. I'm not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. You see, you've got to understand now, there's something going on, because you don't go against the spirit of Jezebel with just the natural human spirit. God has to strengthen you. You have to eat the bread of life. You've got to receive strength from God. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel, verse 7, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drank and went, notice, in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto, underline that because we're getting there, Oreb, the Mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? What are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous, or zealous, for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thine altar, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. I want you to see what was going on and what was done to the church, what was done back there, what was done in Israel. It's being done right here, right now. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passes by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. Underline that. The Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, what verse? 12. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Notice, but most of us would miss it before we get to the still small voice. We'd move at the wind. Yeah, whispering voice. We would move at the fire. We'd move at the earthquake. We'd shake and move there. Because you've got to understand how technical it is at these days that we're living in to really find out what God's doing or where God is. Okay? It's easy to follow the earthquake and the fire and the wind and all these, what's going on. But to hear that, what? Still whispering voice in your heart. Now you're going to have to wait on God. That voice has to come. And remember, there's other things, other spirits are going to come that will lead you astray. Because Elijah could have run after any one of those, but he waited. Because you have to be led by God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And verse 13. And it was so when Elijah heard it. Let's slow down here. That he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken the covenant. Notice, because he has to send Elijah to restore the covenant. They're forsaken, underline that, the covenants. See, as you read it, you got to pick and know these because it's very important. It's not just reading. Thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it. And the Lord said unto him, go. You remember where we came from? God said, go back now. Back. Go, return on that way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when he thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king of Syria. And the Lord said, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael and Jehu, Jehu shall slay. And him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu, shall Elisha slay. Yet, this here we come in now, we'll focus here. Yet, say yet, I have left me 7,000 in Israel of all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal and every mouth which have not kissed him. All right, let's go verse 18. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees, are you following? Which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which had not kissed him. Do you know that God knows your heart, every one of us? Elijah, even the prophet, didn't know. He said, I'm the only one. I mean, things were looking bad. I'm the only one that have not bowed, that have not kissed, that have not worshipped Baal. I'm the only one. Now God is revealing some of the hidden saints, the hidden ones. And God said, no, Elijah, not so, because I have left for me 7,000 in Israel that have not bowed. Now, go to Romans 11 quickly. And we'll come right back here, okay? But can we go there and come back fast? Yeah. Can we wake up and go back and forth? Yeah. Romans 11. See, actually, church is not a nice place to sleep. That's the thing I know. You stay up Saturday night, do all your stuff, and Sunday morning you want to take a break. Not in this church. You sleep on Saturday night. Okay? And I warn you about a Christmas spirit. And you come to church Sunday morning all droop over like you've never been watered. You ever see a plant that in the sun and no water? That's what when you're in the world and no water. And you droop over and you don't even know it. When you come Sunday morning, and I'm talking about the church, this one and all over. And people want to go to bed. See? And the devil does that because he wants your mind. And you don't love God enough to go to bed on Saturday night. Because you feel you're going to miss something from the world. But if you go praising God on Saturday night, you come Sunday morning, praise God. Amen. But I know. You know, it's not me, it's your conscience. The spirit, your heart. And you don't have it in life. Now, Elijah was saying he was the only one that was left. But God now says, in Romans now he says, in verse 4, Romans 11 verse 4, but what says the answer of God? How did God answer him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knees to the image of Baal. Even so, then, at this present time, also, There's a remnant according to the election of grace. So Paul was drawing a, was it a canthus like? And he's going back and says, back there, he took us back to the days of Elijah. And Elijah was complaining and said, I'm the only one. God says, no, I have 7,000 that has not bowed. So Paul brings it over right now of the state of Israel's condition. Remember that they were scattered. They have not been restored. But the Lord was showing Paul that he still has a remnant. He had a remnant back there. He has a remnant in Thyatira. Huh. He has a remnant in Israel. He has a remnant right now. God still has a remnant. In every church, there is a remnant. Are you one of those part? Are you one of those that bowing and kissing and cuddling up to Jezebel's spirit? Who are you? Check it out. Who are you? Check your heart. Who are you? Your heart will betray you. God said, I have a remnant even now. I want to be a part of that remnant. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the, notice the election of grace. Hallelujah. Grace has a lot to do with it. The election of grace. Chosen, predestinated. Under the Elijah's ministry back there, there were 7,000 Eden that had not bowed. They loved God. They would not worship Baal. They were on the Lord's side. Hallelujah. And today, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Verse. And if it's by grace, what a doctrine. Then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace, otherwise work is no more works. What then? What then? Israel had not obtained that which he seeketh for. But the election, hallelujah. The election had obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Just like in the days of old, there were 7,000 that was preserved. But the rest were blinded. They went astray after Baal. Okay? According as it's written. God had given them the spirit of slumber. Remember? I will kill your children with death. The same thing. When you don't serve God and get in fire and worship God, and you take for granted that I can just go to church Sunday morning, I'm talking universal now to everybody, every church, every child of God, and you can just go in the presence of God and sit down and perform, and you're going to find him right there. That's not so. Because you'll be blinded. According as it's written, God had given them what? It's a spirit. The spirit of slumber. Eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. In the days of Elijah, they had those that had eyes, couldn't see, ears that could not hear, because the spirit of slumber was upon them. In Thyatira, I'll kill them with death because they have eyes and ears that were not towards God. I will kill them with death. Even now, that same spirit. But there was a remnant. According to the election of grace. Now, remember now, They were given a spirit. So what is supposed to happen is that the return of Elijah is to remove that spirit of slumber. That spirit of death. I will send my messenger, Elijah, before that great and dreadful day, and is to wake up the remnant, is to wake up the children of God and turn their hearts, hallelujah, come on, to the Father, and the children to the Father. And what's going to happen? They are going to come alive. And they're going to shout, the Lord. The Lord. He is God. The Lord reigneth. Blessed be the Lord. And then Jesus will return and establish that kingdom. That eternal kingdom. The Lord reigneth. Amen. The Lord reigneth. He's to establish that kingdom. And remember now, I'm going to go further on. I don't want to give away my message. But he's to send Elijah. To do what? To get the spirit. See, remember when Elijah came, the first coming, he had to rebuild the altar. Didn't he? He had to rebuild the altar. He had to restore the sacrifice. So Elijah's ministry is to restore a sacrifice of praise. He's to get that spirit of Jezebel out, the doctrines, the teachings of Jezebel out. And then he's to bring true worship. Hallelujah. Restore the hearts. Amen. True worship. Yes. The worship of God in the church. Hallelujah. And the saints that are dead spiritually have got to come alive.
Amen.
They're going to be like David. I was glad. Yes. Hallelujah. When they say unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. You will not come to church and sleep. You will not come to church with a Saturday night and over with the devil in your heart. But you will come with the Spirit of God. You will not come to church. But your heart will be on fire. Are you listening now? Come on. Are you listening now? You love the fire of God will fall. Praise our God. Now, back to I finished Romans 11. Go back to 1 Kings 19. Let's go back to 1 Kings 19. Verse. Where did I stop? Where Elijah. Verse 18. Elijah said, I'm the only one. So I showed you. He said, I have 7,000 more that have not bowed or kissed the image of Baal. Verse 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who, notice what he was doing. Who was what? He wasn't wasting time. If you want God to use you, you get busy. Do something. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. You've got to be plowing in the word. Amen. See? You've got to be plowing with the 12 apostles.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You've got to be plowing with the doctrines of the apostles. Like the early church. What were they doing? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and breaking of bread and fellowship. You've got to be plowing day and night. You can't play with the world. You can't take night off and time off and relax and, you know, my downtime, and I got to relax, and then Sunday I pick it up. You're going to be scarred. All right. You see, you can tell. If you're honest in your heart, you find that and admit you don't have the life and the joy. You got to fake it sometimes. It don't work that way. Because God sees the heart. So, he departed thence, and he found him plowing with 12, Elijah, with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12, and Elijah passed by him and just took a mantle, look here, and just touched him. Cast his mantle. See, when you got a call of God, it's no begging and plowing and ask you, do this, don't do that. Go here, don't go here. It's not a constant. It's something inside of you. When you, if you have to be constantly corrected and pulled back and got, something is wrong. Something is wrong. The man passed by and just touched him and was on his way. Was on his way. You're awake. It's not a pull and please, Elisha. And he pulled him and wait. And when I get ready, that's not the way it works. It doesn't work like that. When God touch you and God call you, it's a willing heart. It's not up to you or your family. When Isaac, what was her name? Rebecca? When Rebecca was chosen and her family wanted to keep her for 10 days longer, what happened? What happened? The Abraham's servant said, no, let me go. They said, we lost the lady. And Elijah said, yes, I want to go. There's a willingness. No, I can't leave. I can't. I got to be a part of that. I got to take them with me. And they don't want to come. See, and Elijah now was touched. And here's what happened. I'm using instances from the Bible. You cannot beat the Bible. And he says, and what did he do? Boy, he left the oxen. He didn't even wait for 4 o'clock to clock out. He left the oxen and ran. No, notice here, he didn't just drag. You've got to get to the place where you're not reminding. Did you do that? How did you do that? Samuel, did you light the lamp? Samuel, did you put the lamp out? Samuel, did you do that? No. No. When you got a call, you got eyes beyond and before. You are on fire. It's not me first and God second. God will never take second place in your life. And he left the oxen and ran. I mean, he was plowing. The man came off it and just, I mean, he didn't park it. He just jumped off of it and leave it. He didn't care if it crashed. He didn't care what. He just. And ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, just give me time to go kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him. And what did he do? He said, I'm going to destroy every bridge. I'm not going to look back. And everything that would, and he broke up the wood or whatever it was, the plow, kill the oxen, and not a party. Yeah, what do you think he had? Stew, soup, stew. Because he's not going back. And slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered. No, you see that word? You see that word ministered? What do you think that is? He just, no. He sat back and let Elijah serve him and somebody serve him. Because you see, he was called. You got to have a servant heart. If you want somebody to serve you first, you don't have a calling. You got to go to the rank. And when God calls you, your turn will come. But if you want to start with, serve me. No, he went and he ministered to Elijah. What do you think he was ministering? Washing his socks? Make his drinks? Make sure his bed linen was clean? Yeah. No, he couldn't do that. He ministered unto Elijah. No, if Elijah needs his toenails cut, he cut them. He'd comb his hair. Cut the hair out of his, whatever. He'd do it. Fix it. Yeah. Make sure the man of God was. What do you think he did? Make sure he go to the grocery store and provide his meal. Because remember now, not the raven or the widow, but now it was Elijah doing it. Okay. You go and tell me what you think that word minister is. That word minister is a servant. The heart of a servant. He ministered to. So you understand where Elijah didn't get there by just a touch. He had to go through. And if you notice as you read the scripture, that they disappeared off the headline for about 10 years. Until they came back when it's time for Elijah to go. So all this time, Elisha was in training, serving, learning. And nobody was serving Elisha. But he had a spirit. It's a spirit. Humility. Humble spirit. Ah, thank you, sister. Mike, let's shout. To attend to the needs of someone. What need? I'm very humble. Make sure the toilet tissue was out. Make sure the bath towel was clean. Everything. He washed his clothes. You know he did. Yes, he did. And you know he could get mad and say, I thought I was called to be your equal. You don't understand what's going on. You don't understand what's going on. But this man came up through the ranks. He learned the hard way. He learned to serve, to minister to the needs of someone. And then afterwards, somebody will minister to you. Give, and it shall be given unto you. But you want to get first. That means you're twisted up. And if you ever get to the top, you will fall. Because you have to learn how to climb the ladder to get up the steps. That's what happened to a lot of people. They don't know how to suffer. When you don't know how to suffer, when you never suffer, you don't know how to cry and trust God, you take everything for granted. Amen. You never suffer. You don't know what it means to scrub the floor. So you come in and walk with your mud shoes. You don't know what it means to go through pain and suffering. So you take everything for granted. You get upset at everything. And somebody has always got to please you. And if they don't please you, you get upset and moody. What are you saying? You're throwing off a message that things are not going my way. Who said it should go your way? You're not here to be served. You're here to serve. Amen, church. So Elisha, he said, ministered unto him for how long? A long time. Read on. Is that it? You see the clothes now? We pick up the next chapter. Not now. But Elisha ministered. I can see a lot because John Mark missed it at first when he went to minister as a servant to Paul and he realized what it was. And the going got rough. He went back home to mama. But thank God that he got rescued and came back after a while. You don't understand what it means to be a servant of the church. Like you had men who were servants. You have women like Phoebe was a servant of the church in St. Crea. I think Angie's a servant of this church. But the only trouble that everybody doesn't sit back and wait for her to cook and then you eat. Wash the dishes. Do the grocery shopping. That's unfair. Wouldn't it be? Huh? See, you don't have to be told. You volunteer, you ask. You say, can I do anything? But you don't, well, there's nothing for me to do except to eat. That's a bad spirit. You got to get rid of those spirits and everybody ought to help, to work. Amen. Now let's have a party. Yes, but what are you going to do? Just eat? Let's have a convention. Yes, but what part are you going to play? Well, I'll wait till the meal is cooked. No, Elisha ministered. Amen. Dorcas, yeah. I mean, ministered to the saints. She made garments. Phoebe ministered. She was a servant. And you ought to get your name in it as a servant before you can be a leader. First, you've got to be a follower. You've got to learn how to... I'm talking to the old church. And I'm talking to the Church Universal. The way to the top, the way to the spirit of Elijah. We talk about, oh, the spirit of Elijah. Yes. And Elisha had it, but look what he did. He ministered. Yes. He served. Yes. And when you get a church that begin to minister and serve and begin to respond to the needs of, hallelujah, of God and his people. When you get a church that is ready to, at the touch, at the call of God to go back home and break up their most valuable possession and take their oxen and kill it and boil it and give it away and then begin to take the yoke. Take my yoke upon you. Elisha got rid of his yoke and he took upon him the yoke of the Lord. And what happened? What happened? What happened? At the end, when he was willing to rip his own mantle, his own garment, and he received a double portion of the spirit of Elisha. Amen. We're going to pick it up. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah.